God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. A couple weeks ago, I watched a short documentary online. And it was a production about talking about the border between the United States and Canada. And for the most part, about 3,000 miles of this, as you can see on a map, is a pretty plain, straight, long border. But there are a lot of intricacies about this border, even on the eastern half, which seems a little more organic. Most of it was drawn, even on the eastern half, without the use of an adequate map, or without quite knowing exactly what was there. And of course, when they got to the west, they just picked a point and drew a straight line right across. Now, the problem with this was, first of all, not only is that, while that line may look straight on a map, this was done in the 1800s with two guys who had a string and a compass. So while it may look straight, it actually kind of zigzags across the continent. But even on the eastern half, there are all kinds of issues. So apparently there's a town that somehow got divided in half between Maine and Quebec. And there are a lot of places where that straight long line goes through lakes and rivers, and it isolates chunks of each country on the wrong side of a geographic feature. That means it can't get to its own country without going through the other. Now, this may be a little bit excusable because Europeans hadn't really explored a lot of this part of the country out west, and so you can imagine just drawing a straight line, you could see these things would happen. But what about in those parts of the world where people are living right up against those borders? Clearly, those are a little more organic. Maybe those are much better drawn. So think about Europe or the Middle East. Except all of the borders in Europe and the Middle East were drawn right after World War I, and they virtually did the same thing. They laid out a map on the table and they just started drawing lines. And again, drawing them through towns, farms, but not paying any attention to who speaks what language where. And so, even where they look a little bit more organic, even in Europe, the lines are a bit arbitrary. Even worse is if you look at a map of Africa. And these lines, again, were drawn by people with a map without actually being on the ground. And so they just sat down and they said, well, I get this land, you get this land, they'll take this land. And let's just forget about the fact that people live there. And some of these people who live there that were drawing borders through their lands, some of these nations got divided up into three different countries. And chunks of each one of those nations got lumped together with other people that they never even wanted to be in a country with. And so this has caused all kinds of problems since that time. And so we can see all these problems of arbitrary borders on the map. But if you back up a little bit, if you've ever seen a picture of the Earth from a satellite or from space, or especially a picture of the Earth at night, you don't see borders. You don't see these arbitrary lines running across the world. At night, you see lights, and even when there are lights, you don't see these arbitrary borders in most places. All you see is where people live. We put so much stock into the things that divide us as human beings. We put a lot of stock into these things that we think are important. These things like nationality, race, class, language, gender, sexual orientation, or the Packers and the Bears. Yet these lines are arbitrary. They are lines that we have drawn as human beings. And they a lot of times kind of work out like when you're on a car trip as a kid. And you're sitting in the back seat, and you're sitting next to your sibling, and you say, this is the line down the middle of the car. Don't cross it. Mom, he's crossing my line. He's touching me. And these are the divisions that we make. And these divisions mean a lot more to us than they mean to God. Our reading from Colossians, St. Paul says, "In Christ all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together." With all the dividing lines that we have drawn, with all the authority we give to our human leaders, and the pride that we put in those places and in those lines and in those divisions, it becomes very difficult to see that we are all part of this kingdom of Christ. Today is the last Sunday of the church's calendar. It is known, if you look at a calendar, as Christ the King Sunday. And this really is not a day that is known outside of the church. We don't have Christ the King cards. We don't have Christ the King parades. Probably if we gave presents on today, we'd know a little more about it. But this really is not a day that most people even notice. And admittedly, it is a strange concept, especially for us. Because a king is not exactly something that comes up a lot in our American context. Now, intellectually, we know what a king is, but it is not something that we understand through experience. For us, this idea that anyone is sovereign over us is a very countercultural idea. We tend to think in our American society that we set our own paths. We are rugged individualists. We like to roll up our sleeves, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. And in many ways, we really resent the idea that somebody or something has dominion over us. And this becomes, in our American culture, a common theme in literature and movies. We're all about breaking away from tyranny, no matter what that tyranny is, whether it be a ruler or a supercomputer or whatever that might be. We believe that our common goal in life is to strive for freedom. And we believe when we think of freedom, we think of self-determination. No one is the boss of me but me. But sometimes, being in charge of something means less about freedom, and it means more responsibility. Sometimes, being the boss of me, I am responsible for things that I cannot handle. And sometimes, letting God be in charge can give us more freedom than we had originally imagined. Very often we get to the point where we realize we are helpless, and we become like that criminal at Jesus' right hand in the gospel reading who says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And we realize that our life on our own is too much, and we need the hope that only Christ can give. It is not that we need to feel helpless. We are not infants. We don't want to live without a will. But it is that we recognize that God is in charge, and we have so much less to worry about. And now, getting back to my first point, this is the thing that binds us all together. It is the thing that binds all human beings together despite our arbitrary divisions. And that is that we all need God, whether we want to admit it or not. And it is that God is there for us, whether or not we ask for it or even know it. See, it is not really a question of whether, of if God is in charge, or whether we should let God in charge. Friends, the fact of the matter is, God is in charge. And God is not just in charge of us as individuals. That is, God is not just in charge of me and you and you and you. It is that God is in charge of everything. There's a story about a potter, a man who made pottery, and it was the most beautiful pottery in the world. It was very intricate, very detailed, and this man was very proud of his work. In fact, he was so proud of his work that he said, God, I can make this product better than anything you can make. And God answered him and said, oh, can you? He said, yes, God, I can make a pottery more beautiful, more detailed than what you can make. And God said, fine, just on this one gift of yours, I'll challenge you. We'll each make a pot and see which one is more beautiful. So God goes out with a shovel and gets some dirt to put into the water to make clay. And then the potter goes out with his shovel, and he puts a shovel in the ground and pulls up some dirt, and God says, whoa, 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 what are you doing? And the potter said, I'm getting dirt to make clay. And God said, get your own dirt. We have a tendency to try to be in control of things, to claim ownership of things. We draw our imaginary boundaries, and we claim that land that God has created. And then we try to place ourselves over one another and rule over one another as if we are not made of the same carbon and the same DNA. And we humans put value on things that cannot or should not be loved. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should just throw it all away. I'm not saying that we should topple over our countries, our economy, our social order. These things are actually useful. But as St. Paul even points out in Colossians, they are even created by God. But this is the same St. Paul who many times pointed out that in Christ there is no male or female, no Jew or Greek, no slave or free, and that these divisions are simply human concepts. But like when we go to our satellite image, when we back up and put everything into perspective, we realize that it is Christ who rules over all of us. But not as a tyrant. Christ rules over us as a friend. And we are all sisters and brothers in Christ. And those lines that have been drawn between us so easily fade away. And this is the message that we get on this Christ the King Sunday. The message is that we do not have to hold on to those things that weigh us down. We are free from them. Because our true freedom, everyone's true freedom, is in Christ. Amen.